Welcome to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. And on today's episode, I sit down with Ben Goodman. He's a personal trainer based in Brighton in the UK, and we have a really awesome chat. I met Ben a few years ago, and we've chatted back and forth ever since. And he's a powerlifter. He was into powerlifting, and we go into what powerlifting is, because I'd never come across it before until I've met Ben. And it opened my eyes to a fantastic sport, a fantastic way of working your body, of lifting weights and stuff. But I was always very put off by the word powerlifting, by what powerlifting is. And it's quite an intense sounding place. So we just wanted to sit down and break down the myths, talk about what it really is and how, if you started adopting some of the ideas behind powerlifting, how it might help you and change your lifting life and help you burn fat and build muscle. Another thing I would say as well is if you like the podcast, then please review it on iTunes. They're really helping at the moment. The podcast is growing very quickly, immeasurably, which of course I have nothing but extreme gratitude to anyone who listens to it, has subscribed to it already, and has rated and reviewed it on iTunes. So if you could do that, it would mean a lot to me. And that's about it. I hope you've had a lovely week, and let's get on with the show. Welcome to The Fitness Solution. And on today's episode, I've got an amazing personal trainer based down in Brighton called Ben Goodman, also known as Benny Fit Training. He's a fantastic guy. We first connected via... Who was it? It was Simon, wasn't it? Simon Jacobs. Yeah, a mutual friend of ours called Simon, who connected us, and Ben sought out some advice from me based on some bits and bobs. And then it turned out I ended up tapping him up for far more advice than he got from me, I think. So
I think it was great. 50-50.
But yeah, Ben's a fantastic personal trainer. There's nothing he doesn't know about powerlifting and lifting weights and compound movements and all of these wonderful things. And he's one of the go-to guys that I have in my armory of people if ever I have a question relating to anything that I just know I need solid advice on. But why am I talking about you? So Ben, welcome to the podcast. How the hell are you, my friend?
Yes, very well, thank you. Thanks for asking, and thanks for bigging me up so much.
I'm just telling the truth. How's life in lockdown?
Yeah, good. Yeah, just plodding along. Same old in a way, but just not physically in a gym at the moment, which is a bit odd.
Yeah, it is a bit strange, isn't it? Yeah. Although, having looked upon your Instagram and your YouTube and stuff, you seem to have plenty of kit with you, and you seem to be doing just fine.
Yeah, I'm in a lucky position. We have a lot of equipment in our bedroom and lots of heavy weights.
That's a funny place to have your equipment. I mean, if most people bring up the bedroom on the podcast, it doesn't relate to lifting weights, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, I guess I'm a different weird breed.
As is your darling wife. You just got married, didn't you?
Last year, thank you.
Perfect. And is all going well?
All going swimmingly. No real difference other than there's a certificate saying we're married, really.
And there's another ring on, a ring on your finger and another one.
Yeah, that's it. Right? Got used to doing that, and I can still lift with my ring on my finger, so that's me sorted.
Perfect. And Kat, your wife, is also a trainer, isn't she?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, she qualified maybe about 3 years ago now, and is very much delved into strength training, as obviously have I. And it's very much like the female side of the powerlifting duo that we have created.
That's a good way of starting, a powerlifting duo. Tell us about yourself. How did you get into it? What started?
I qualified. I did my fitness level 2 in college and then did my level 3 in my gap year. I didn't really plan on being a personal trainer. I went to university and I studied sport and exercise science. And the recession hit in 2008. I graduated in 2009, didn't really know what to do. And I saw there was an opportunity to be a personal trainer on cruise ships. So I kind of fell back on that. I didn't necessarily need the degree to do this. And then I fell into the role a lot more than I had previously. And ever since, really, I've been personal training. So yeah, on the ships, in my hometown in Lewis, and then over in Australia, and then back here in Brighton. So that's spanning about 14 years now. Yeah.
Excellent. Good. Yeah. And what kind of personal training is it you do? What's your specialism?
So, I mean, for the first about 9 years, I didn't know. And I would argue I didn't do enough reading to know. You know, I was traveling. I wasn't taking it as seriously as I have been for the past like 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to Australia, I kept hearing the word powerlifting. I didn't know what it meant, really. You know, my colleagues was one of the best powerlifters in the under 21s in Australia. And I went and visited his gym. It was very cool, full of really enormous people lifting ridiculous weights. And I hurt my back. I saw a physio. He happened to be a powerlifter as well. And so I just kept hearing it. So I got into it then, got back to England, got back into, you know, personal training in England, met up with a guy called Sergey, who I now work for, who is an international powerlifting coach. And he coached me, and that just exploded my knowledge and understanding, and kind of going back to your original question, like what I do as my kind of forte, strength training, powerlifting in a nutshell.
Good. Now, I was petrified. I was absolutely freaking petrified of the word powerlifting when I first met you. And I was like, what is this thing? Like, I don't want that in my life. Like, I didn't feel like I needed that in my life. I didn't feel like I should have understood all of that and everything else, because it's quite a terrifying term, powerlifting, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, if I was to give that to 90% of my clients, say, right, we're going to do some powerlifting, I think they'd run a mile from me just because of the kind of people they are. But it's what I've discovered since knowing you, basically, it's not like that at all, is it?
No, I mean, like, so on the competitive side of powerlifting, like, don't get me wrong, I'm fairly strong, but on the competitive side, I'm a very weak powerlifter. I'm kind of like a strong gym goer. But when I've competed, you know, I'm not hitting any numbers that are turning heads, but the support, the camaraderie at a competition is absolutely beautiful. It's something I think is hard to believe because of the images you conjure up when you mention the word powerlifting. It seems intimidating, and it's just such a nice atmosphere, just the competitive side of it itself. Even if you just wanted to delve in and do like one competition, doesn't matter the weights you lift, you know, you get as much support as you would if you're breaking a local record from the crowd and from your fellow lifters, which is, yeah, it's really nice. And it's something I didn't necessarily expect either. But yeah, so it is nothing to be intimidated about. And, you know, the same as in just in the gym environment itself, you know, anyone can be a powerlifter, anyone can get strong. It's just there's a select few that will be elite.
Yeah, of course. In the same way, sport is exactly the same, right?
Exactly.
But people listening to this are going to be like, I still feel like they're going to be scared and petrified of the word powerlifting. Mm. So what is it?
So powerlifting revolves around the three big lifts. You've got the squat, the bench, and the deadlift. So from a gym training perspective, you've probably done at least a variation of those, or you've probably done the barbell lifts themselves, and you're looking to lift as much as you can in one repetition. So it's a pure strength sport. The word powerlifting is actually not really the best term. It's more strength lifting. Powerlifting is more, I would argue, applicable to Olympic lifting, but that's neither here nor there. Essentially, it's a true strength sport, and you have to just lift the weight to the judges' standards at competition. It's just nice to kind of test your limits. And kind of as you mentioned as well, like any other sport, you're testing your limits there. It's just another way of testing your limits.
Yeah, around the squat, bench, and deadlift.
Yeah, awesome. Exactly.
I love it. So let me tell you a little story, which you obviously know, Ben, but the audience don't. It was about Christmas last year, I think. So I remember doing the video for you. I was wearing my Christmas jumper.
Yeah.
Not last year, the year before. Mm. And I was really struggling with my bench press, wasn't I? And you sent me a little book that you'd written, a few little tips here, there, and everywhere. And didn't I add like 25 or 30 kilos to my bench press, my one rep max in one in one day, basically, just by implementing better technique.
Yeah. And that's, I think, like, the way I think of the gym, and the way I think people don't think of the gym, is I think of it as a skill. Everything is a skill, whereas I think it can be very much kind of glossed over as just a movement, and a skill is much more complicated, when actually you can really break the squat, the bench, and the deadlift down, and many other lifts in the gym, to very specific techniques, like I will have kind of talked you through in your bench press. And it's surprising at how an improvement in technique can add so many kilos. And, you know, funnily enough, you won't have gained strength that day. It's just you will have honed in on your technique a little better. And one example I always like to give is you got Brian Shaw, who's like a 5 times world's strongest man, and he goes up against the strongest arm wrestler. And you, you look at Brian Shaw, 200 kilos, 6'8", you know, his hands are enormous, his arms, his forearms, they're just out unreal. And you just think, well, he's going to have a good chance, surely. And he gets his ass whooped. And it's down to technique in arm wrestling. Now, I would have said, well, arm wrestling, surely you just, that's that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, and this guy just, you know, absolutely whoops him. And it just goes to show that technique is key in essentially everything we do in a sporting environment, in the gym.
Yeah. So what would you say we need to, like, how do we improve our technique? What resources should we use? How do we develop this in order to develop our strength? I mean, because let's look at it. Okay, you're a powerlifter, you're a powerlifting coach, you're a fantastic personal trainer, and you get all your clients to work in this way. Yeah, I know people will still just be scared of the thought of having to work that hard in that manner in order to. So I suppose the question is twofold. How do you break down the fear of going down the path of this kind of lifting and this kind of lifting weights and building this kind of strength? And then, and also, I suppose let's start there. How do you open that door and start walking down it?
Well, I mean, the funny thing is most people in the gym have probably already done it without realizing anyway. So yeah. There's obviously a certain side of lifting where you have to put on a bit of muscle. That extra muscle will lend itself to strength, even though you're in like a hypertrophy range or a strength. Yeah, sorry, if you're in a hypertrophy range, it doesn't mean it doesn't lend itself to a bit of strength, but you also have to work in the strength region of repetition ranges I'm talking here. So people will have added muscle, whether they've done 10 reps or 3 reps or 20 reps, muscle will be added. Mm-hmm. And you will be getting stronger. So to kind of put it to someone to delve towards a bit more powerlifting based, I don't think is much of a transition, funnily enough. The necessity to do things like 1 rep max testing, I would also argue, is not there, but it's quite a fun way to gauge where you're at and truly where you're at as well. Otherwise, you're just kind of guessing and getting stronger in higher ranges, which I don't see any issue with, but it's nice to test, is kind of my view, I suppose. And I think I answered your question there.
I think so.
In a roundabout way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, the rep ranges you got to work towards is like the 1-6, 1-3 range, right?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, the closer you get to your testing, whether it's at competition or in the gym, you're going to have to test within your 1 rep match at some point. 1 rep max, sorry, not match. and of course, you know, your reps are going to be low in the big three. So the squat, the bench, the deadlift. But that doesn't mean everything you do is in that range. In powerlifting terms, you've got what's called accessory movements. And these accessory movements help your big three. Yep. And they're typically done in high ranges so that you add mass to the point at which you are either weak or strong in. Typically, you will find the programming will most of the time encapsulate more the weaker kind of flaws in your lifting, but that doesn't mean you don't work on your strengths as well. So yeah, I can't actually remember the original question. This is that's typical fine. Me. I go off on tangents.
Fine, don't worry, I love the tangent. Let's just go with it. It doesn't matter. The audience have probably forgotten it as well, so don't worry. We'll just go with the flow.
Yeah.
It was kind of what rep ranges are you looking for? So obviously when you're testing on the max, you're going to be doing that. But you have to have in order to develop your bench, your deadlift, and your squat to that degree,
you have to work the whole body around the, you know, like you would any kind of weightlifting program, right?
Yeah. So the way I always think of it, if you want to get better at bench pressing, then you need to bench more. It's the same as if you want to get better at basketball.
Practice makes permanent.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, of course. So like, in terms of like working towards that one rep, you do need to work in higher ranges and break it down to lower ranges eventually. There's lots of different methods that you could go down, and it doesn't have to be so linear. It doesn't have to go from 10 reps to one rep over 10 weeks. We could delve into that, but it gets a little bit complicated and almost unnecessary if someone's looking to start it. So I don't think I really need to talk so much about that part.
Yeah, no, of course. And also talking about programming is a great way to confuse people and lose people over audio. Like, it's something you need to visually see, right?
Yeah, I think so.
yeah, definitely. So then, like, what's the psychology behind it? Like, what does it do to you when you start lifting in this manner? Like, what would, like, say there was you as a coach, all right, and there was me, and we were both equal parts built up, and you was like selling powerlifting, and I was selling resistance training, as it were, like just, you know, general proper fat loss hypertrophy personal training kind of stuff, which is pretty much what I do anyway.
Yeah.
Like, and our knowledge was the same, all things were created equal, we cost the same and everything else. What would you say the like psychological advantage to that client making that decision is through going with your manner of lifting compared to what I personally would do in terms of resistance training?
So, I mean, it's that whole thing of you get to see your progress. You get to see the fruits of your labor. You know, sometimes it can be grinding out in the gym and you're not really sure where you've ever been at and gotten to. And so for me personally, you know, when I discovered it, I was just kind of training and trying to look good.
Isn't that all any of us are doing?
I suppose so. But now I've got a bit more of like this laser guided focus of lifting more and happening to try to look good along the side of it, you know. I'll answer your question in a second, but there's a great quote by Brett Contreras who says, you know, train for performance and aesthetics comes along the way.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was getting at with that. So I'll remember what you asked me in a second.
The psychology of like what benefit does it have to your the way you feel about yourself?
Yeah.
So like, heavy weights.
As soon as you start to gain that momentum of strength and you start to see your lifts add kilos and kilos and kilos, it really, as I mentioned a second ago, it laser guides you almost. And it's like, brilliant. If I can lift this now, well, hopefully I can lift this in 3 months, in 6 months. And you start building on those goals. And it can be a lifelong thing, you know. There are plenty of 7-year-old, 8-year-old powerlifters that are competitive. You know, they are breaking records in their age and weight.
Well, I'd argue like the only people you really see at that age who are still lifting weights are those who have delved into powerlifting in their lives, really. You know, like you see those viral videos on Facebook and YouTube and things, and they're nearly all using, you know, sumo squat deadlifts, and they're nearly all using these proper kind of powerlifting techniques, and the way they kind of, the speed with which they do the lift and stuff like that matches, because obviously they don't have the motor skills anymore to do it any other way. And it's no surprise that it does seem to be the solid, I think it's the one that gives you the most longevity.
Say that again, sorry.
I think it's the kind of the techniques to use in the gym that gives you the most longevity.
I guess so. Like,
you can disagree with me.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's anything that will give longevity. Like, it, so long as you, because you need to train smart in terms of keeping longevity. Like, it's very easy to burn out in any lift. You know, name the lift, you'll be able to burn out in it. You'll be able to repetitively go through the same motion can be a bad thing. But, you know, if you're squatting and benching and deadlifting the same way for tens of years, you do have to train smart to make sure you're able to keep that longevity. Yeah. So I think it is a conditioned answer that I would kind of give back.
Fair enough. Yeah, of course. That's fine. And what's, but like, so I mean, what I find with it is it's incredible to see. I always tell my clients to focus on what their body can do, not what their body can't do. So yeah, obviously I work very much in the fat loss field with females, and I'm always telling them to try and focus on, rather than what you're like trying to reduce your body, what your body can produce. So especially I use this argument a lot when we talk about NEAT and metabolism, and I'm like, there's two ways that you can, if you hit a plateau or if you feel like you're not making progress quick enough or anything like that, there's two things we can do. We can either reduce your calories more, which I really don't want to do because I'm pretty sure your numbers are right, or we can just produce more. And I think that's far better, because that's going to build your confidence a lot more. That's going to give you more endorphins. It's going to be better for the body. And I see that correlation in powerlifting so, so much. Like, it's all about what your body can do, rather than what your body can't do.
Yes. And I, alongside that, I love that it's not based on how you look. Like, you can walk in. Are you lifting the weight? Are you doing it in the correct way? Fantastic. Oh, I don't care what you look like, you know, and that's what I really love about it as well.
Yeah. It's really nice. Like, don't you, I mean, I do use a lot of all what you taught me anyway in what I do with my clients. And I'm always trying to push them around those compound movements as much as I can. Because it does, it just builds confidence. When people come away and they're like, oh, I just did a 60 kilo bench press.
Yeah.
It's like, that's amazing. Or if you ever add up all of the weight they've done in one session and you say to them, you've just shifted like 4,000 kilos. And they're like, what? That doesn't make sense. You know, they're incredible tools to just give people a strength and robustness throughout their life.
Yeah, yeah. And that confidence that comes with it. You know, they walk out of the gym tall and happy and confident with themselves because they've lifted something they didn't previously even think to look at, let alone lift, you know. And again, that's the same as me, and I'm sure the same with you. When you've walked out and you've just lifted more than you've ever done, not necessarily in a one rep max, you know, even in 10 reps on a chest press, that's great.
Yeah, I did 30 push-ups in one go for the first time like three days ago. Yeah, it's great. Like, it's a good lockdown challenge, right?
Yeah, so exactly. So I think powerlifting is just a much more specific version of pushing yourself, really.
Yeah, man, no, I totally get it. I totally get it. So, like, how did you learn it? Where did you go? What did you... You said you was at the gym in Australia. Where in Australia were you?
So this is in Melbourne. I did a bit of travelling and ended up in Melbourne. And I was working in a gym. So, one of my colleagues, Martin, he... ridiculously strong dude. And... you know, at this point, I thought I knew everything. I thought I knew, you know, this is a few years in and I still knew nothing really now looking back. And I still don't know everything, of course, no one does. But I know a bit more than I did.
Yeah.
The point is, yeah. So Martin, you know, he got me interested in it. And so I kind of made like a rudimentary kind of program. And the structure was okay. But looking back now, you know, it wasn't great. And then coming back to Brighton, I eventually thought, right, I need to get a coach. And I got Sergey. And like I said, he's an international powerlifting coach. He knows his stuff. And it was such an eye-opener. You know, I wasn't hitting depth in my squat. My deadlifts were pretty poor. My bench press was pretty poor. You know, and he had so many tweaks to make. So he's very much been a mentor for me. I now work for him as well. So, that's who I will credit most of my knowledge from. And then it's just reading things as well. So Sergey's he's from Latvia, so he has a lot of Russian sports science knowledge.
Kettlebell man?
If you've heard of, there's a powerlifting coach, Boris Shako. So very high volume around the squat, bench and dead. And, you know, when I did one of his first workouts, as in one of Sergey's, you know, I got that natural high, but from lifting, and I've never really gotten that before. And it was funny because I was lifting with my wife and she did the same workout and both of us were just high after it. and, you know, it was amazing. And a completely different way of training for me. And so, you know, I just read and read and read everything I could possible and learned more about how to lift well and train well, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. So what was that workout that made you so high?
Well, this is like... one that he will refer to as like X1, X2, X3, because as you go through it, so you start off with like 5x5 lift, with about 2 reps in reserve. So you should be able to comfortably hit 7 on the weight that you're using.
Right.
And then over 10 weeks, the weights fluctuate depending on X1 plus 2.5K for 3x4 and so forth. And it just kind of undulates throughout those weeks. And then you've just got some accessory work. But I was in the gym for 2 hours. It took me ages.
Yeah, sounds like it.
it was horrendous. It was horrendous, but I absolutely loved it. And like I said, I got this like natural high out of it, which I often associate as the runner's high. Well, I had a lifter's high that day.
yeah, that's perfect.
It was brilliant. Absolutely murderous. I remember at one point there were walking lunges and, you know, after all those squats. Oh, yeah. But that really switched me on, like, oh, wow, this is the dude I need to train with. You know, he got me lifting weights I never thought I'd be able to touch.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It is such a nice feeling when you just get to put your hands on a slightly bigger barbell. And you just, you know, the exercise that gives me the biggest high is without a doubt an overhead press. I know it's not one of the big three, but once I get... Yeah. Once I get 35,
lifting.
I get a 35, 40 kilo above my head for like 5 or 6 reps, I'm like, and feeling at the top of the lift.
Yeah.
It's just when you get to lockout and it you can feel your traps into your neck and everything just pushing upwards and it just rooting you into the floor.
Yeah.
Nothing makes me feel more powerful.
There's something quite primal about it, I think. It's almost like looking at fire.
Yeah. But like, I tell all my clients the same at like the top of a deadlift. I'm like, I find a lot of people when they deadlift, they get right to the top and then they almost want to put it down as quickly as they can, as possibly as they can. And it's like, no, you are cheating yourself of the greatest moment of the deadlift.
Yeah.
Once you're at the top, scream, enjoy it, and look out. You've got a weight in your hands. And you're fine to hold it there for like a good 2-3 beat. Just look, enjoy, imagine how it feels, squeeze everything together, and then put it back to the floor, same way you brought it up. And like, and when you start watching people do that and add in that extra moment at the top of a deadlift, at the top of the overhead press, at the squat, it's, you know, it's at the bottom just before you push up, if you put in the tiniest of pauses, you know, where they feel like, oh my goodness, I'm not sure how it's going to go, and then they get through it. It's that, I find, it's those little moments in each lift that really add up to build that huge weight of confidence.
Definitely. So one way I like to think of that as well, you know, those pauses at the top, because you have to pause at the top of a deadlift in competition. And I always remember one of my heaviest deadlifts at competition. And it was like a very meditative state I was in. Nothing existed. You know, it was just me and the barbell. I saw people, but they were a blur. I could hear my name being shouted, but it didn't really, nothing existed. And it's one of those things where I say, like, you don't have to meditate to meditate, you know? That's my meditation. I feel solace. I feel great.
Solitude. No, not solitude.
Thesaurus later. I feel great is what I'm going to go with. Yeah. I can't beat that feeling.
No, you can't. I mean, it's very similar to how you feel when you're on stage. Like with the acting background that I have, you're aware there's people out in front of you. But because the lights are so in your face, and I mean, a lot of people say it's the lights in your face. Really, if you're a good enough actor, it's not that. It's the fact that you're, for the first time in your life, you feel so present in the moment, and it's something that you can't replicate anywhere else. It's a moment of, like, if you're really in the given circumstances of the play, if you're really listening, if you're really engaged with your colleagues on stage, and all your focus, your whole focus is on exactly the story you're telling, everything else it does, it just fades away. It just blurs away, and you just end up on this roller coaster. And the amount of times I've been on stage, and before I know it, it's like, crap, is it over?
Yes.
Like, I'll be like, how are we already on this scene? I haven't done the play. And you've been on stage for 3 hours. And you're like, because you've just been so in the present.
Yeah.
And that's what I think a powerlifting very much can push people towards feeling like that. Yeah. You get a lot of people in the gym kind of lifting weights, and you can almost see the thought bubbles in their heads. Oh, I've got to get the shop in, pick up the kids. And I always say, if you're doing that, if your whole focus at any one moment in time isn't on the lift you're doing isn't on the weight that you're having to pull, push, whatever, then it's too light. You need to increase it, because that's the only way you're going to get into the present. And once you do that, that's how the gym stops becoming boring. That's how it becomes exciting. That's how it becomes, you release the endorphins. That's how it becomes this place of joy and wonder that you really, really desire. And it will keep you motivated as well.
One of my clients, he always says, oh, I've got to really think about this to correct this. I'm like, good, don't think of anything else. I don't want you thinking of anything else. And he always says it, and I always have that answer. I'm like, come on, you know what I'm going to say.
That's fantastic. So what was your deadlift in that moment? How heavy was it?
That one was 192 and a half kilos.
Jesus.
Yeah, this was when I weighed in at about just over 80 kilos at the time. I weigh a fair bit less now. And so I was a bit heavier when I did that lift.
What is the correlation between your body weight and your ability to lift heavier weights? Because I weigh 80 kilos, but I can only really deadlift about 100. I have done 110, 113, but it didn't feel pretty.
It got a bit ugly, did it? Well, I mean, the thing is, we have to look at your training history. We have to look at your anthropometrics. I think I pronounced that right. Your body's proportions. So if someone has arms that are like dangling down by their shins, well, they don't have to move the bar very far. A fantastic example is a lifter called Lamar Gant. Now, he weighed in at 60 kilos and picked up 300. But you see him in his stood position, and his arms are long. So they're certainly helping him out.
But surely his legs are long as well, no?
No, I mean, his proportions. Oh, right. Yeah, so this is what I mean. You have to look at someone's proportions. And proportions become very interesting when you start looking at their squat, their bench, their deadlift, and how we can take advantage of their mechanics. So when I say lifting mechanics, it's like how one moves in their squat will depend on their torso length versus their femur length versus their tib fib. And then also the mobility at those particular places as well. But yeah, Lamar Gant was a real exception in terms of like his arm length versus his torso and leg length. And funnily enough, he also had serious scoliosis.
Wow.
So like there's some great pictures. If you Google image him and he's flexing, I mean, he's hench, you know. Just because his proportions lent themselves to it doesn't mean he just picked it up. He was also ridiculously strong. And his training lent himself to it. But if you look at his picture, he's flexing and from his back, and it's like an S, his spine.
Wow.
But so what I'm essentially getting at is weight will come into it. So if you look at someone like Eddie Hall, when he did his 500 kilo deadlift.
Well, he's the world's strongest man, right?
Yeah, 2016 or 17. Oh, yeah. I can't remember what year.
Yeah.
I think 2018, maybe. Anyway, the point is when he did his 500 kilo, he had to put on mass. So he weighed in at 200 kilos, despite only being about 6'3". Right. When you look at someone like Brian Shaw, who's 6'8" and 200 kilos, it's a bit more in proportion. So, you know, Eddie really had to put on a lot of mass to do it. And if you look at all the records in powerlifting of all the weight categories, the weight just simply goes up. So it does help, mass moves mass. But there's also a point at which, you know, you don't want to just simply try and put on more mass and just put on fat. You know, there has to be a level of muscle going on, of course.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Does
it work in terms of like balance? Like, for instance, if you're pulling a deadlift, obviously, if you go shooting your hips back in the hinge, obviously, the more weight that you're sending backwards with velocity is going to move that bar off the floor a bit more, isn't it? Have I got that right?
I would say no, because the deadlift is coming off of the floor. There's no real kind of momentum you can put into it. It has to go up, you know, the way you can take advantage of something called the stretch reflex is by dropping down into a quick start position. That's fairly advanced. It's not something I would advise many people to start on unless they've been lifting for many years.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can kind of develop, not necessarily momentum, but develop power out the bottom by taking advantage, like I said, of the stretch reflex, which essentially is when a muscle shortens, it expects a contraction.
Yeah, similar to like if you was to do a forward jump.
Exactly, perfect example. You know, if someone was told, right, you're not allowed to bend your knees or your hips and you just got to jump, well, first of all, it would feel really weird. And second, you'd only get off the floor a little bit. But, yep. You know, you ask someone to jump normally and you'll see them counter jump where they kind of drop their hips down to come up. That's essentially what you would do if you wanted to take advantage of a stretch reflex in a deadlift.
Right. But I suppose, okay, so then if you did weigh that so much more to do a deadlift, then obviously it's you're going to have more control when the weight starts pulling you forward because you're counterbalancing it with more weight, right?
I don't know. I don't think so. I just simply if someone weighs more, they've typically got more lean mass if they've been eating well and training. Yeah. You know, you have to have contractile mass muscle to lift things. Yeah.
Okay. Damn it. There goes my McDonald's diet for the next 2 years.
No excuses, I'm afraid.
And traditionally, can people who are taller lift less?
So it often is the kind of quoted thing that taller people will struggle more with deadlifts.
Right. Because of femur length.
I would say it depends on their proportions. So if their femur length is kind of matching their arm length, as in they're fairly in proportion, you're just the same proportion as a small individual to a tall individual.
Right.
What I think typically happens, and I was listening to a podcast the other day, taller people, they grow... Oh, I'm not going to be able to quote it now. Oh, this is going to really bug me.
Go on, I've got faith in you.
It was on a podcast called Stronger by Science, which is a fantastic podcast, and I highly recommend people listen to it. It was something about when, you know, taller people are growing as younger individuals. I think what tends to grow first, okay, I'm kind of remembering it now, limbs grow first, longer first. So typically, it does mean that they are more out of proportion. Right. So I think that is why typically the taller individual might struggle in lifting heavy weights because of their proportions. It doesn't mean they can't do it, but it just means their mechanics might not lend themselves so easily as a shorter individual, because a shorter individual is typically more in proportion just because of how we grow. I think that makes sense, and I'm pretty sure I quoted that mostly correctly.
No, excellent, well done, good job. I mean as a very tall, lanky, big-eared, weird human, I can attest to that definitely being my experiences. I wrote an article the other day on my website about the push-up, and in that I found some interesting stuff about how like your longer limbs just don't help you at all. It was like a whole blog for tall people and lifting weights, and how you're just at a huge disadvantage to do it because of your lever length, and obviously the weight is further away from the center mass of your body. And then your center of gravity is naturally higher as well. So therefore, when you're doing things like a deadlift or a squat, it wouldn't matter so much on a bench because you're flat. Mm. But it does affect your ability to be able to stay stable under those under that intensity and those duresses.
Yeah, and like you've got more things, more mass to control. You know, simply just being taller. And you are right in terms of taller people are working harder. So if you look at the equation of work done is time times distance. Well, you know, you versus me, I'm about 5'8". I'm assuming you're 6'2", 6'3"?
6'4".
6'4", ah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're much taller than me. So with that in mind, you will be traveling further as you go, so the distance is more.
Yep.
And also probably the time you take to travel that distance is going to be more, simply because it's further.
Yeah.
So we times those two together to get work done. Well, you're going to do more work than I would with the same weight, because I'm lifting a shorter distance and taking probably less time to travel that distance.
Yeah, of course. And then also I'd have to eat a considerable amount more food than you would in order to gain muscle.
Yeah, and that's just because you're a bigger individual. But so me weighing in at 80 kilos, I'd probably... I mean, we're going to be looking massively at genetic differences as well, of course. Yeah, But yeah, I mean, that assumption can be made true so long as you are, like, typically just weighing more than me. You'd have to eat more to... Yeah, I think that makes sense anyway. But I'm agreeing.
No, good. I'm glad. No, like, I mean, my at the minute, my BMR is about two... No, my... Yeah, I think my BMR... is 2,100, 2,200. And especially in lockdown, it's nearly impossible to eat that amount of food. Just because my energy output is so much less. It's really difficult. And a lot of it comes down to organ size, because my organs are a lot longer than yours. They obviously take up more energy to do what they have to do. And therefore, I end up having to burn more calories. I literally can look at a donut and it's burnt off before it's even gone through my system. Yeah. It's very good. But yeah, that's what I would say. So how does someone get started in powerlifting? What do you do?
So, you know, let's say someone does want to get into the big three, the bench, the squat, the dead, and they just want to improve their kilos. I think, as I mentioned earlier, you need to bench, squat, and deadlift. You know, you need to do that a lot.
Easy to do with misguided technique, though, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Again, as we alluded to earlier, there's a lot of technique behind it. And I mean, obviously, this is going to be an opinion of a powerlifting coach as well, is get a coach. You know, this is what I did. I thought I was doing everything
right. I concur, everyone, get a coach. I recommend two very good ones.
Yeah, just a subtle hint there, very subtle. But no, honestly, you know, I thought I was doing everything right. I was a personal trainer. I had been for like 9 years at this point. And then I went and saw Serge, and he just like cut me down, you know, to the core. My ego was hurt, you know, and I was doing everything. I wasn't doing anything unsafe per se, but it was wrong. It wasn't optimal. And to get optimal in a lift, you need external perspective. You need help with it. But, you know, and very often I see people benching, squatting, deadlifting suboptimally, and to a point where, oh, that might be considered unsafe now, actually. Mm. So, yeah, that's my first piece of advice. If you're really not wanting to, you don't want to stretch your budget out any further, then you need to do a lot of reading. And it's finding all the kind of coaches that have good advice around powerlifting, really.
Yeah, people like, I mean, I'd say Eric Cressy, Mark Ripito.
Yeah, great.
These are the Americans. I know the Americans well because I mainly listen to American podcasts on it. Jordan Syatt's a good powerlifter.
Yeah. I mean, like my go-to people, certainly who you've listed there, alongside a guy called Chris Duffin who runs Kabuki Strength, which is right. Absolutely fantastic. That's probably one of the best resources in my opinion. Stronger by Science, the fella that runs it is Greg Knuckles, and he's fantastic.
Do you know about Squat University?
I do. Brilliant.
They're fantastic.
Some of the best videos I've ever seen. You know, and if you build up a library of those sorts of people, you can get some fantastic knowledge. But if you don't understand it and you take too much salt out of, you know, too many pinches of salt, you've got a really murky program going on.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of information you have to sift, and you have to sift critically and fairly intelligently. You can't just accept everyone at face value.
Absolutely. I did have another question for you, but it's completely and utterly jumped from my brain.
That's all right.
As is, I didn't take a note of it, and that is always the problem. So, I know what I was going to say. I remember you talking about cutting down your ego. And a lot of people will probably be thinking, oh, God, that sounds really scary and really petrifying. I remember when I submitted to you my squat and deadlift videos, and I remember getting the reply back because Ben was doing this thing a little while ago about, you know, you send him a video of your angles and stuff, of you doing the lift, and he'll critique it for you, basically. And then he'll upload it on YouTube and you'll look like a fool. No, you don't. It does hit your ego hugely. I mean, and I'm the first to admit, I don't know huge amounts of technique like you do in terms of these lifts particularly. I've learned a hell of a lot very quickly over the last 18 months, I think. But you can always dig in, you're always learning, you're always getting that kind of information. But it was actually very freeing, because what it taught me was it reminded me to take the plates off. Like, after I got the feedback, it reminded me to take the plates off. It reminded me to just, I had to basically, my squat, I had to go back to 20 kilos. And I just had to start drilling the squat again.
Yeah.
And now I'm back up to like 40, 50, pressing 60 kilos before this happened. But it feels so much stronger, so much more solid. Like I'm no longer getting that kind of pain in my back. I'm no longer not feeling it in the right places. I'm, you know, and it, and but I, it was just years of bad technique. And then you went, hang on a sec, let's look at this. And part of that was going through a massive regression and accepting the fact that people are going to look at me with just a bar on my back. And but I didn't care, you know, and that's part of it, isn't it?
Massively. You know, one of my little favorite things to say is, yeah, you need to regress to progress.
Yeah.
And yeah, it can be a difficult pill to swallow, but it, the way I think of it is, it's an investment. So, you know, you've put some money aside, you're down £500 now, but you've put it into a high interest account and you have to wait 12 months before it doubles in money. But in the meantime, you're down £500. Come 12 months time, you're suddenly up an extra 500. Whereas had you not invested, you wouldn't have made any money on that. And it's the same in the gym. You know, had you not regressed, taken those plates off, kind of relearned the technique, slowly, slowly build on it. Well, you've surpassed where you were potentially going to go because your technique was suboptimal before. Now it's much more optimal. You've surpassed that ceiling you would have hit.
Yeah, I always say that in the fat loss field with clients as well. It's like, there's going to be a time when you run out of energy, you run out of steam, you're sick of the calorie deficit and everything else, okay? There's going to be a time when you have to take five steps back. But unless you do take those five steps back, you then won't be able to take 10 forward. And also what will happen is you'll make up those five steps a hell of a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Right? So it will feel like you got to a certain point and then you'll go back, but you'll get to where you were before really fast again, and then you'll be able to push through and exceed what you were at before. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's the same with like reversing your calories, or it's the same with just working in seasons, I call it, like the same as athletes.
Yeah,
you know,
like
you have a football season, you have an American football season, whatever it might be. And, you know, you're going to need a break from this to just reset the brain, relax, chill out, and then you can sprint through again.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, this has been a great chat about powerlifting. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I could add a lot of things, but
I'd say try it. Like, don't be scared of it. I was petrified of it. Whenever someone mentioned powerlifting to me, I was always like, that just doesn't seem like it sounds or sits right with me. Mm. But everything I've heard since, everything I know since, the people I've met in this field as well are so generous with their time, their knowledge. Like the other night, we was texting at like 11 p.m. about programming. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, and that's where this came from. But it's just such a nice thing to do for people. And I do find coaches with the powerlifting mentality, they have no ego, unlike personal trainers. So like, not all personal trainers, but unlike your kind of stereotypical personal trainer, because they've learned to not have an ego based on being basically brutalized by weights. And by other coaches in their careers.
Yeah, I think exactly that. It's quite humbling.
Yeah.
But
and that's important. Yeah. It's important to be humbled.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, to kind of add to that sentiment, give it a go. And as I said before, you're already doing it. You know, all you're doing is progressive overload, but towards a particular amount on a squat, a bench or a deadlift. You know, go for it. You can do it. Just... yeah, research your technique, or, you know, get a coach.
How does someone establish what would be a good weight to target?
This is one I always answer with, how long is a piece of string? Because it's almost like saying, what sort of time should I go for? I've never ran a marathon. Like, just run it. Just lift. You know, that's it, really, in my opinion. The numbers will sort themselves out.
I found when I did run the marathon, like, I set myself a target and I didn't realize how unachievable that target was. And then I didn't realize how unmotivating I found it, because I knew how far away I was from that target. So I targeted 4 hours, and I remember sitting in the bath after a long run, and it was just the most brutal, horrible, disgusting, wet, cold, awful long run I had. And I was texting my running coach, James Dunn, and, who's, again, a lovely guy, great running blogger, everything. He's been on the podcast. And I was like, dude, I think I've just got to say goodbye to even thinking I can complete 4 hours, because it's just pissing me off, because I can't do it. And I'm trying to run the first like 5K, first 10K at the rate I need to. And then it's just knackering me out. It's too much for the latter part. Like, it was such a... And the day I said, fuck it, to 4 hours, was the day that actually marathon training became a much more enjoyable process for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's nice to have goals, of course, you know, as we know. And it's nice to have numbers so that you can kind of focus on it. But I think, first of all, find out where you are, you know, and base it off of that so you can set more realistic goals. What I often read about, if so let's say someone did want to compete or, you know, is thinking that they can lift fairly well, you often see banded around for males, you know, get to a point where you can bench press your own body weight for one rep max. This is all one rep max.
Your own body weight, bloody hell. Yeah. I'm miles from that.
Well, that's it. And this is why I tend not to advise any of this, you know. Yeah. What I mean, because it can be demoralizing, and then they're not going to start, and if they don't start, well, they're never going to know where they get to.
Of course.
Yeah,
and I think isn't it deadlift your own body weight three times over?
I would say squat is like 1.5 and then deadlift is about 2, you know. That's okay. Where people say, you know, if you're doing that, you're in a good position. You know, when you start looking at elite numbers, it's pointless in my opinion.
Yeah, of course.
Because you're not going to get there. And then the other thing as well is, if you're a big individual, you know, if you're weighing in and you're coming in the categories of heavyweight and super heavyweight, to tell someone to bench their own body weight, that's an enormous amount of weight, you know. Yeah. So what you'll find is
the curve comes down.
Yeah, exactly. The body weight to weight ratio is very skewed in favor to smaller individuals. So what powerlifters will use at competition, it used to be called the Wilkes equation. They've recently changed it in the past couple of years and imaginatively called it the IPF points, which is International right. Powerlifting Federation points.
Of course.
And these are leveling the playing field. So you can compare a 120 kilo lifter to a 60 kilo lifter and say who is stronger. So those numbers, that equation is probably a better example to use than straight body weight.
Okay.
It's unfair to the bigger lifters, and it's
of course
very much in favor to the smaller lifters.
Yeah. Sounds a bit like the Duckworth Lewis rule in cricket.
Okay,
I know. It's basically a rule somebody came up with, a guy called Duckworth Lewis. He which is a great cricketing name if ever I heard one. Who if a game gets like delayed by rain, then they calculate the amount of overs left compared to the amount of runs that one team put on the board. And then they'll send a team out and be like, this is your target over the 4 overs you have. You've got to score like 36 runs. Yeah. And then if you manage that, we can establish that you would have got enough runs over the same amount of balls. You win the game. It's basically how it works. It's a way of
estimating fairly well.
Basically. It's your best guesstimation based on it. Excellent. Well, Ben, where can people find you?
My website, www.bennyfit.co.uk, Instagram, bennyfit.strengthandpower. Bennyfit.
Bennyfit.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's cool. Yeah. And I recommend everyone goes and checks him out because, I mean, his YouTube is very good as well, full of excellent technique videos, and he very much makes it wonderfully accessible to someone who's not 1,000% sure on what they're doing. It's really accessible explanations based on everything, which is always nice. And it's something I always like to gravitate towards because making fitness as accessible as possible is basically the name of my game. And Benny very much is in that vein as well. So yeah, go check him out. And like I say, he's very generous of his time. He'll answer any questions. And he's a very sweet, lovely Englishman, as you'd expect, based down in Brighton.
I try.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on, buddy. It's been an absolute joy to chat to you. And hopefully I'll see you again very, very soon.
Hopefully. Nice one. Thank you, Adam.
No worries, buddy.
Cheers.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode of The Fitness Solution. Ben really is a wonderful human being, and he is incredibly knowledgeable, and I'm sure that came across in the episode. And what he doesn't know about lifting weights and stuff almost isn't worth not knowing. So if you want to reach out to him, find him on Instagram, have a chat with him, and I really hope that whenever you come across the word powerlifting now, it might give you a different insight into really what goes into it and and the kind of world it is. It really is a very supportive world. If you speak to anyone who has competed in powerlifting or anyone who's done anything in the powerlifting world, they'll all say it's just a really positive space to be in. And it can teach you so, so much. So hopefully next time you get in the gym and you're lifting those weights, you'll experience some of what we've spoken about, having looked into it a little bit further. As always, if you like this episode, please subscribe on iTunes, rate and review it on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. That would mean an awful lot to me. And as always, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Peace, love, and protein. High fives and positive vibes. Ciao, ciao.